Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today our guest is to be John St. Augustine. He is very much involved in something right now, so we are just holding our breath that he's going to be able to make the interview. But what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead, start with the program, and his wonderful, wonderful book is something that I know that you will enjoy. Every Moment Matters. John is a great writer, but we will be talking with him if he's able to call in. We're sort of on pins and needles, wondering if he's going to be able to make it. If not, then he's going to be rescheduled at a later time. But right now, what I thought I would do is just start off with some thoughts that, well, maybe we'll begin the day and will help you feel better about yourself and maybe some of the things that you have had to contend with or, you know, just really deal with it in your own particular way. This is something that I came across, and I think so often about the people of the past and resourcefulness. And resourcefulness is a very important part of our lives. It's a part of our lives that many times we're not encouraged to develop because we get acclimated to pretty pat situations and environments and what I call, or what my girlfriend called, a 60-second mentality where everything's supposed to be happening very, very quickly and easily. Well, this is about a family, and it was a family that had 260 square miles of ranch land. Now, if you can just sort of wrap your mind around that, that means that you didn't have neighbors real close by. And there weren't any box stores conveniently available for whatever you needed. Now, this was a ranch. It was called the Lazy Bee, and it is on the New Mexico and Arizona border. And if you were to look at the land at that time, it had real exciting stuff on it. Scrub brush. Have you ever seen that? Well, it doesn't leave much to the imagination. There was a couple, Harry and Ada May Day, who had gotten married, lived on this ranch. In fact, the ranch had belonged to the Day family since 1881. And when Ada May had her first child, they had to travel over 200 miles to El Paso for her to give birth. Now, when she brought her little girl home, on the ranch, again, you think of 260 square miles, that's pretty barren, it's pretty, pretty harsh living. And the baby girl, she didn't know any different, she's just a baby. But the lifestyle on that ranch was a very harsh one. They had a four-room adobe house, there was no running water, no electricity, and there wasn't a school anywhere close. Now, that being the case, you'd expect that this little girl would grow up literate, right? That's not the case. Both the father, Harry, and Ada May decided they were going to teach their children. So they did homeschooling. And what Ada May did, she subscribed to metropolitan newspapers and magazines, and she constantly read to her little girl. And when she was 4 years old, she began on what was called the Calvert method of homeschooling. And later on, Ada May and her husband made sure that their daughter went to the best schools possible. And during the summer, they decided they were going to take their daughter and their other children on a car trip to visit all the state capitals west of the Mississippi River. So we're talking about parents that really wanted their children to know what was out there and what was available to them. Now, the daughter's name was Sandra. Now, she eventually went to Stanford University and then on to law school. And eventually, she became the first woman justice to sit on the Supreme Court of the United States of America. And I'm sure you all know who that is, Sandra Day O'Connor. When we hear stories like this, and we talk with people who have gone through really harsh periods, do you know one of the things that I find so fascinating with this? Most people don't even think that it was really that much of a hardship. It was just something that they had to live through. Would they go back to it? No. But they say, we lived it because that's the way life was at that time. In today's world, resilience and resourcefulness are just as much needed as they ever were. Whenever we make an investment in our children, whenever we give them the opportunity to see various worlds, live different experiences, talk to people from different cultures, different environments, we empower them to be able to look at the world with a much broader view than so many times is portrayed via media. Introducing your child to a library is important. But you know what I've discovered? Kids usually are going to follow in the footsteps of those that make the biggest impressions on them. That's not 100%. But if you've been in an environment where people were encouraged to question, to disagree, to examine, to investigate, to explore, then what happens is that you have this phenomenal opportunity, a phenomenal opportunity to be able to move forward with life, and that young person is really going to grow. I think it's important for us as adults to do the same thing. I think it's very important as adults that we don't make assumptions that our little worlds are just what they are. We need to be open and receptive to new ideas. We need to look at some of the things that are going on in different parts of the world. I think that's one of the greatest gifts that the Internet has brought along, is the tremendous diversity and the capacity to communicate with people all over the world and literally in a very small amount of time. There is so much that goes on with us, so much that happens in our lives that we get so busy. But make it a point to visit your local library. I was just at my local library this afternoon because I'm working on a book. And it gives me the opportunity to have uninterrupted time where I can do the writing that I need to do. But in the library, if you take a look, even if you're in a little library like I was in today, you'll find that there are literally thousands of pieces of material you can have access to. First, via magazines, various books, access to the Internet through, you know, use of a computer. You just have absolutely unlimited resources that are at your fingertips. So I think, just like Sandra Day O'Connor's parents had an attitude of enthusiastic support for education, for learning, and for exposing their family, their entire family, including themselves, to the latest and the best, and also developing a healthy respect for the past as well, and encouraging resilience and also the concept of being resourceful, thinking things through. How do you work with problems? We need more Sandra Day O'Connors. We need more people like that. And when we can do it for ourselves, we can't help but pass that legacy along to others. So I just hope that you enjoyed that little bit of a story about someone that's had a very significant participation within our country. And I encourage you, pick up books. Pick up magazines. Check out things on the Internet. Just don't listen to what's on the news on the television. Don't be afraid to listen to European programs. Find out what different perspectives are. It'll make your world a lot richer. This is Donna Sebo, and it looks like we're not going to be able to connect with John. We will be having him on again in the interim. We are just going to open up the telephone lines. So this is going to be an open mic hour if you want to give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And I will be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. I came across some information put out by David Horowitz, and this is, I think, extremely important. And the reason I think it's important, it's because it relates to technology today. And it has to do with email scams. If you're like me, you will find that in your junk mail folder, there's often all kinds of stuff that's gotten there that shouldn't go there. And in your regular email, you're going to find buku pieces of junk mail that you have to be sure that you put a tag on so that you're not going to be bothered again. Oh, yes, there's always those things from Nigeria and different places in the world. But it's amazing how these scams are getting through. Now, David had some real good suggestions on email scams, and I thought that they were worth mentioning to you. One is, when you see an email written in broken English and or addresses you by either your full name or by sir or madam, often they're going to avoid using a name or say something like dearest one or dear beloved in Christ. I have gotten buku of those. Have you? Well, I automatically know you're going to just dump them. Also, the email claims to be from a representative of an overseas bank or financial institution. I'm going to share some more information with you. So, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Linda, and I'm from Anchorage.
Hi, Linda. My goodness.
Hi.
How's the weather in
Anchorage?
Last time
you were here. It's great. It's great. And I'm sorry I was out of town when you were here last time, so I missed your visit.
Oh, my goodness. Well, don't worry about that. That's the way this world is. We're all busy. I'm always available by phone. You know that, whenever you want to reach me. And that's what you've done today. Okay, Linda, let me just give you some quick information here. The first thing that I'm looking at are some details. And I feel like I've got a blackboard in front of me. It looks like an old-fashioned blackboard. And I'm seeing colored chalk markings on it. And I'm going, well, this is interesting. This seems to be rather simple. What's going on here? I think what you're doing, Linda, you are trying to make some evaluations about some old issues. I think that's what this old blackboard is representing in the colored chalk. Now, it's not a great big blackboard, so I don't know that these issues are especially huge in your mind, but it's almost like they're being regurgitated, and you're having to put on some thinking processes or utilize some thinking processes that are not typically what you want to do. And it's like it's going backwards. You're feeling like, gee, I have to go back into some old stuff that I'm just, it's sort of like putting on an old pair of bloomers or something. You go, this just doesn't suit me anymore. But apparently you're going to have to go back into some old thinking processes to be able to make sense out of something that's going on from the past that's coming back into your life. It really is intriguing to me when I'm watching this picture because it's not logical. It isn't coming in a way that's making sense to me. And I think that that's how you're going to feel about it. So something is going to pop up. The only way I know how to say it, it's going to come to the surface. It has to do with the past. And it has to do with something personal, and it's going to come up into your environment, and I think you're going to take some time to figure out, well, how you need to work with it or how you need to handle it. And I don't think it's that big a deal, but it's very uncomfortable because it's putting you into a modality of thought that just is not where you are today. So be patient with it. Understand whoever or whatever is bringing this up. When you deal with it, you're going to have a resolution regarding some information that you wondered about a long time ago, and it's as if little tiny pieces are going to come into place. And I think the colored chalk symbology I'm looking at is that this is not something that is going to be black and white. It's going to have a lot of variables in it, and I think there's various persons and or situations that were going on in the background that you had no idea about. But again, this has something to do with your personal life. Quite interesting to me when I'm looking at it. Now, there is something about you having a tough time speaking right now. There are some emotions you're going through relative to some conditions that you're in, and you're biting your tongue because you don't want to speak until you really have your thoughts in order. And Linda, you're absolutely correct. Make sure you've got all of the facts that you need. Make sure you know everything that you need to know. Then when it comes time for you to speak, you're not going to have this tightness in your throat. I feel as if I'm almost forcing myself. I want to spit something out verbally, but yet I know if I do, I can't take it back if I don't have my information correct, and I don't want to be fumbling and jumbling around with my words. You're right on the mark. Be true to yourself. Be true to what you know you need to do for yourself. You will not regret it. Do you have a question for me?
No, I think that was pretty much it. I just wanted to share that my mediumship abilities are really coming to the fore. And
oh, good.
Those now, and I'm finally accepting a lot of these things you told me about a long time ago.
Well, good. I'm so glad.
So it's getting to be fun.
Well, really I am very, very happy for you. And I'm grateful for you calling in.
Well, and I'll be anxious to hear your guest tomorrow because she's an animal communicator, and that one I'm really looking forward to listening to.
Oh, no, hon. Tomorrow I've got Pope Annalisa, the
author,
David
Peter.
Yeah, the animal communicator, let me see when she's on. I hope I didn't have a typo. No, she's on Wednesday. Danielle is
oh,
the
Wednesday.
Animal communicator.
Oh. Right, right, okay.
Okay, and Peter Canavo
you
is
have
going
a
to
great
be on
day.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, well,
I'm sorry,
I
we've got an overlap, Linda. Linda, we've got a time lapse here, so I'm sorry if I'm talking over you. I don't mean
I'm sorry, too.
Yeah, it's just there's a little bit of a time delay, so for those listening, I'm sorry that it's coming in that way, but sometimes the telephone lines do that. You said something, dear, and I didn't hear it.
I said, you have a great day, and I will catch you next time you're in town.
Wonderful, Linda. Take care, my dear. Bye-bye.
Okay.
This is Donna Siebel. And as I said, we haven't been able to reach John St. Augustine. And I know he's got an extremely busy schedule, so something must have happened. And we are definitely going to have him on again. His book, Every Moment Matters, is absolutely marvelous. And he is associated with the Oprah Winfrey show, and his schedule sometimes can get a bit hairy. So we had this planned out, and I'm sure back in Chicago that something has come up, and as soon as we can, we'll be in touch with him. And we might get lucky. He might be calling in so that we will be able to have him anyway, but we'll just take that in stride. Meanwhile, the lines are open. Give me a call if you'd like to chat with me today, 888-815-9756. We've gone to now having an open mic during the entire hour. Now, before Linda called, and with her call, then you know that you can call in at any time during the hour, I was telling you about some of the stuff on email scams, and I wanted to share some of the other information that David Horowitz gave because I really do think it's important. We are getting pummeled with so much stuff electronically, and there are so many copycats out there, and one of the biggest things that concerns me is you get these things from banks or even from PayPal, and you'll get different things that look identical to what you would know and identify as that real institution or organization. So let me share the rest of these with you. The email claims to form a representative of an overseas bank or financial institution. Now, if this institution or bank does exist, it does not legitimize the email. And if it says it's from a desperate person, this stuff is not a joke. This has been going on since, you know, the Internet started up anyway. Also, if there's an email that states the writer of the email for someone the writer represents has recently won the lottery, or it states you have won a lottery, or a friend, it claims to be a friend of a fallen soldier who has money to give, or the writer says a relative died, left too much money, and he or she wants to store this extra money in your account, or you've been left a large inheritance. All of this is an out-and-out blatant lie, and what they're trying to do is get information from you. And the way things are on the Internet anymore, what these people are able to have access to is absolutely unbelievable. Anytime you have an email that asks for financial information, bank account routing numbers, the name of your financial institution, anything like that, if it comes on like that, don't accept it. If it asks for any personal information, your social security number, which is a big red flag anyway, or the state where you live, etc., don't do it. Or if you're the last hope of a dying child overseas in a disaster, doesn't work. Also, if it comes from a nonprofit organization that needs money for relief efforts. I mean, the scams are out there. I must get about 5 to 10 a day. 5 to 10 a day. And I know there's other people that get a lot more than that. So just remember, these people that are doing this are changing their emails constantly. Put them in your junk email list and just don't even respond to them. Delete them. Fix your email so that you can see what's in the email without even having to open it. And that'll save you too. Just delete them, throw them in the trash. And you just now need to be aware too, if you're scammed, if you gave out any information from the name of your bank to something, maybe like the routing number on your account, call your financial institution immediately. Immediately. And you want to make sure that your banking institution knows this. You take care of it right away. Things happen so fast. I was at a bank not all that long ago, and they said they really encourage people not to keep a lot of money in their checking accounts because they have had accounts that have been accessed by hackers, and people go into their bank account, all of a sudden thousands of dollars are gone. They said it's better to keep most of your money in a savings account and keep your checking account at a minimal level just in case something like that happens. Now, remember, again, call your bank. Don't call family. Don't call friends. Don't call the FBI. Don't call anybody until you call your bank first. Stop the action right away. Now, if you gave out your Social Security number, this affects everything. The Social Security number originally was not supposed to be used as a point of identification. Well, it is today. Everything financially is related to it, your utility bills, everything. So if you've given out your Social Security number by accident to an inappropriate party, be aware. Also, you can report the scam, if you are scammed, to the FBI via the Internet Crime Complaint Center. And there's all kinds of contacts for that. Now, this is what you do if you have something like this that goes on. The Internet Crime Complaint Center is www.ic3.gov. And that's the letter I, the letter C, the number 3.gov. And report it to them right away. They are dealing with these issues on a massive level. This is not something to take lightheartedly. Also, you want to report the email to your email provider as a scam and have the scammer's IP address reported. Now, again, these criminals that do this change or delete their email addresses and the places from where they send them. They really move fast on this. And then research the email address extension. For example, if the email came from a particular address, then you can look up www. Whatever that email address is, and where does the extension take you. And all communication with that scammer, you'll be mad, but the best situation, again, is to call your bank, call the FBI, and then step away. Do not try to communicate with the individual. They are really more savvy than you are. So I just thought that that was really good information, because you need to be aware of these things. Our world is so different from 10 years ago. I mean, I am absolutely astonished how you can walk into a store one week and see certain items and walk into a store the next week and you've got a plethora of brand new things on the shelves. Technology is moving forward with such a speed that the people that are even involved in the industry have a tough time keeping up with it. It's amazing. We have all of these phenomenal minds from all around the world that are coming up with all kinds of ideas. So it really is a challenge. And I think especially if you have a senior citizen in your home, that maybe does not understand a lot of these things, but I know young people who don't understand it either. I mean, you look at the stuff that goes on Facebook and Twitter. You need to remember you have to be discriminating and very, very thoughtful. Also, something that's come up in the way of information, and this had not really crossed my mind, but it makes sense. What do you do if you have a real good business and a super website and someone, and that you pass away? What do you do with it? Well, especially with people that are self-employed, when a business was not incorporated, they just, you know, choice closed down the business. That's the way it used to be. However, a lot of small businesses are now online. And you know, websites won't go away, even if a business owner passes away. So if a business has an automated payment and order fulfillment system, it's going to carry on until the website expires. If there's no automated fulfillment system, orders might be paid for, but never shipped. Now, businesses can continue to generate income online, and those that are handling the estate may really find themselves in a quandary. Why? They're going to wonder, what do I do with this? How many times is this something that even comes up in a conversation? How is the website to be handled? How is the product, the servicing of the product, the distribution of the product to be handled? Or if you have a business and this business is going to continue on after you pass away, who are going to take it over? Now, David Staub, who's with the Staub Anderson Green, a Chicago-based law firm, said, to ensure a smooth transition, business owners should create lists with company names, contact information, account numbers, and login information of all their vendors and suppliers, credit card companies, banks, websites, and web hosts, internet service providers, email accounts, and file transfer protocols that they use. And you need to keep this information someplace where it's going to be safe, and there should be a designated person that knows where this information is and will have access to it should you pass away. Now, maybe it's not going to be you. Maybe there's somebody in your family, or maybe you have a friend that something could happen. This is information worth knowing about. Also, if you have a business, you need to designate in your will who's going to have access to your business accounts, personal accounts, who's going to divide up the business assets, how they're going to be divided up, because this is all very significant. Did you know that checks payable to a business may be accepted for deposit by a bank post-mortem in the short term, but a spouse wouldn't be able to withdraw money unless he or she has account signing authority? Without a will, deposits will be tied up until the estate's legal representative sorts out issues, and business revenue may not go to the intended heir. Boy, what we have to deal with today. Never even give this a consideration most of the time. So, just as it's always been, if you have a business, you need to be able to recognize that all of these different modalities are going to have to be incorporated into it. And so often we wouldn't even give it a thought. We're just out there doing. But it does make a difference. This is Donna Sebo. I regret John St. Augustine wasn't able to join us today. We will be rebooking him. Meanwhile, we're going to be taking a break. And, hey, telephone lines are open. The telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Telephone lines are open. And tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Peter Canovas. His award-winning book. This man's book is winning awards all over the place. I've read it. It is fictional, but I'll tell you what, it is loaded. It is absolutely awesome reading. It's called Pope Annalisa. So do tune in tomorrow because it is a dynamic book. I think it's so appropriate for today, but that's what we've got coming up tomorrow. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Give me a buzz again if you want to chat. 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about GlycoNutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. And give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Well, I wanted to chat with you for just a minute. Those of you that are involved with healing, different healing modalities, there's been so many ways that people have tried to describe how touch makes a difference and how different people will, with their hands, be able to sense things and be able, especially if they get into therapeutic healing, be able to generate a lot of energy through their hands. Well, there have been people that have been doing a lot of research on the hands, and part of it has been due to the fact that they're trying to figure out why some people will lose the sense of touch in the hands. Now, if you're more sensitive than normal, there's a neuroscientist, Frank Rice of Albany Medical College. He's discovered something interesting. In its study of patients whose skin lacks normal nerve fibers, he said there's been a previously unknown source of perception that contributes to the familiar ability to feel texture, temperature, pressure, and pain. The nerve endings surrounding blood vessels and sweat glands in the human skin. The human body's amazing, and they just keep discovering new things that they had no clue about. Now, neurologist David Bauscher, along with the neuroscientist Frank Rice, they're with the University of Liverpool, and they were studying two of their patients who were unable to feel any kind of pain. And, of course, that's very, very dangerous. Yet somehow these patients had a rudimentary ability to distinguish hot from cold and rough from smooth. Now, most of us just take that for granted. We know that instantaneously. But these people didn't. Now, what they did, they examined skin samples and they did some other biopsies, and they found that all of the usual nerve endings associated with skin sensation, these people didn't have them. The only possible sources of feeling were the nerves of the blood vessels and the glands. Now, they knew that such nerves existed, but they thought they just regulated blood flow and perspiration. However, they said these nerve cells also act as an additional sensory system. And they believe that these nerve endings contribute to conscious perception. Now, they are theorizing on this, but if he is correct, He said problems with his previously unknown system could contribute to poorly understood pain conditions. A couple of those are migraine headaches and fibromyalgia. So they're trying to check out this link and searching for malformations of blood vessel nerves that could affect their function. You know, as human beings, this vehicle we occupy is absolutely amazing. And so as the technology has evolved, they've been able to get into this finer understanding of what goes on with the human body, why this affects that. But going back again for just a moment regarding healing, have you ever had a sensation where your hands, when you were around a person, when you, let's say, just took your hands and went around the outside of the body, and whether you felt heat or whether you felt cold? My husband once told me about an acting class that he participated in. And in this acting class, they were asked to stand, the students would choose a partner, and they would stand in front of the partner, and they would close their eyes, and they'd hold their hands out, and they were to project heat, just mentally project heat through their hands. And then they were to project cold. And it was quite amazing how the students found they were extremely sensitive, and they could feel this. Well, our whole body is a phenomenal sensory system. And when people choose to get into the healing arts, whether it's someone that goes in for nursing or someone that chooses to be in Reiki or body massage, they usually will, if they're very, very sensitive, develop an awareness, and they'll be able to read a person's body with training, and they learn how to feel that through themselves. They become very empathetic. It's quite a fascinating phenomenon. So now doctors are finding that there's more contributing to this sensory factor than what we ever imagined. It also probably will have a big factor with people that sometimes are given painkillers and they don't work at all. And you'll go, how come? It's supposed to work on you. How come it's not worked? Well, it's just the uniqueness of the human body, and it's something that we really need to respect and appreciate. That's why it's important to take care of your chassis. That's right. Take care of that chassis that you have, because it does make a difference. I wanted to share you a little with you today a little bit of trivia. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9758. One is that the Swedish Employment Service granted disability payments to Roger Tolgren of Hässleholm, Sweden, because he was addicted to heavy metal music. And I thought I'd heard about every addiction in the world, but this is one. Do you know, he was into heavy metal music. He was a fan since hearing Black Sabbath at the age of 6. He attended 300 concerts during the year 2006, often skipping work to do so. Well, I guess you could call that an addiction, couldn't you? Now, also, what I wanted to share with you is a little bit of information about some animals, because I think they are absolutely amazing. There is a frog that's called a see-through frog, and scientists in Japan have been breeding them because they are able to see the organs, the blood vessels, and the eggs in this frog. And I've got a picture of it in front of me. It's absolutely amazing. They say they feel that the frogs are going to be invaluable for research into diseases such as cancer, because scientists can study organ growth and development with having to dissect the frog. A unique approach, not having to cut it up, but to be able to see everything that goes on inside the body. It's fascinating stuff. Oh, and for those of you that have dogs, let me just share something with you that I went through recently. We have two little Scottish Terriers. Kinsey is our older dog, and she's 10 years old. And one day we found this lump that was about the size of a half of a walnut underneath one of her on one of her legs. And so we got quite concerned because we have had dogs in the past that have contracted cancer. So we immediately tried to get her in, and the vet told me something interesting. He said at her age, and if you have older dogs, this may be something you want to be aware of, he said animals often develop fatty tissues, or and they're fatty tumors, lymphomas are what they're called, and they can check for them very easily to see whether or not they're cancerous. So he said, we can do this very, very quickly. And he went and he took a needle and he poked it into the tumors because she's got more than one. And he said, I really think they're lymphomas. With her age, he said, I just think that it's fatty tissue that's there, but we'll check it out. And sure enough, and he showed me the tissue sample and he said, see how this spreads across the glass and it looks very, very waxy. He said, that is the fatty tumor. So he said, your little Scotty's just fine, but we're not going to have to do any surgery. And he said, I really wouldn't recommend removing them unless they get quite large. He said, because it's just going to make it very uncomfortable. She's an older dog, and you just need to be aware of that. So I just thought I'd let you know that that little bit of a test sometimes can be very helpful, and that if you find a lump, I know if you're like me, the first thought that's going to come into your head, if you've had the experience before, is that your animal may have cancer. But that tiny little puncture, and my dog didn't even react to it. I was just amazed. But he had a very, very fine, thin needle, and he was able to extract enough tissue with that to be able to check it out, which was a big relief. So I wanted to share that with you. Also, I wanted to share that in ants, they continue to do research on all kinds of creatures. And with ants, and this does not surprise me, the University of Bristol, England, have observed that army ants form living bridges to help get jobs done. Well, any of us that are aware of army ants realize that these are extremely intelligent insects and extremely resourceful insects. Now, when they're foraging on rough ground, some of them will use their own bodies to plug tiny holes and allow their fellow ants to walk over them. It was even discovered that individual ants choose which of them is the best size to lie across a particular hole. I've often felt if we paid more attention to the ants, we could learn a great deal. But army ants are very, very resourceful. They have been historically studied on so many different levels, and you want to get out of their way. When they are on the move, they get everything in sight. But they are extremely intelligent and resourceful, and it's an amazing thing to observe. I always have to chuckle when people come up with comments and they say, wow, I didn't realize horses were so smart, or I didn't realize that this and this had feelings, or that fish responded to things the way that they do. Anything that has life is going to respond. And just because we're not able to communicate with it doesn't mean that it doesn't have intelligence. It really, really does. Also, I wanted to let you know about some fearless mice. Yes, that's my last little bit of trivia about animals today. Scientists at Japan's Tokyo University have created a mouse that's not scared of cats. The researchers succeeded in turning off the receptors in a mouse's brain that react to the scent of its chief predator. What they've produced is a genetically modified mouse who shows no fear when coming face to face with cats. Well, I don't know if that was such a good idea. I wonder why they figured that was so important to do. Probably just trying to find out about that particular receptor in the brain. But maybe they're breeding a super mouse. Huh? Well, hey, Mighty Mouse was around. Yes, remember that cartoon character? You might be too young to remember. I don't know. But regardless, we've had all kinds of mouse characters, and it looks like the Japanese scientists are presenting some new ones for us to be concerned about. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. When I come back, I have got a honey and orange glazed roast chicken with gravy recipe that I think that you'll enjoy. Also, a story about the wild girls of Champlain. Yes, well, you'll have to tune in and listen for the rest of this. This is Donna. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. You know, I debated. I had a couple of recipes that I really wanted to share, but I thought I would go to this honey and orange glazed roast chicken. I don't know about you, but that's one of my favorite meats. And I just think that this is so easy, and it's so deliciously flavorful. And, of course, chicken and orange flavors go together so well. So this is how it's going to go. If you've got a pad of paper and a pen handy, you just need one fresh orange. You're going to need a roasting chicken, about 6 to 7 pounds worth of chicken would be good. And then a tablespoon of olive oil, a half a teaspoon of poultry seasoning, half a teaspoon of salt and an eighth of a teaspoon of pepper. You're going to need 2 tablespoons of your favorite honey. And if you want, you can make your own chicken gravy, or if you want it really easy, you can always buy a can of chicken gravy at the store. And then you're going to need 1/4 cup of white wine. That may or may not be something that you want to use, but it sure does give a wonderful, wonderful flavor. And my taste buds sort of go with not a dry white wine, but a one that has just a touch of sweetness to it because of the fact that you're going to be having the orange and the honey. And then, of course, fresh parsley makes a wonderful, wonderful complement when you put your chicken on your platter. Now, this is how simple it is. You're going to preheat your oven to 350 degrees, and you're going to grate 1/2 teaspoon of orange zest from your fresh orange, and then you want to squeeze out of that orange 1 tablespoon of the juice, and you can, you know, put that to the side. And then if you want, you can truss your chicken. You can place it on a rack in your roasting pan. I would say you could also put orange inside of the chicken, and I like to put a little bit of onion along with it. But if you have, you know, some orange there, it just the flavors from the oils from the skin of the orange will permeate the meat too. Now, what you're going to do in a separate bowl, you're going to combine your oil, your poultry seasoning, salt, pepper, and your zest. You want to rub it over your chicken, and then you roast it for 1.5 hours. And then just after that period, you have combined your honey and the reserved juice, and you brush the mixture over your chicken. So the juice that comes out of that orange that's left over, you mix it with the honey, and it's just going to be fabulous. You roast it then, basting it frequently. You roast it until the meat thermometer inserted into the thickest part of the thigh, which is away from the bone, registers about 180 degrees. And it's going to only take about another 15 minutes. But when you're basting it, the honey is just absolutely marvelous, and it will get this beautiful golden brown color. And the flavor is terrific. Now, what you want to do is once it's cooked, then you want to put it on a platter. And, of course, the juices and the drippings that are in the pan, you want to save that. And if you desire, some people don't like to do this, but I do, and that's skim the fat from the pan juices and, you know, just get rid of that. And then on a pot over medium heat, you take your gravy, your pan juices, and if you desire, you add your wine and you cook, and it'll be thickened. If you want to make your own, you just take a few tablespoons of flour, put it into the drippings, let it brown, and then add, if you have some heavy cream, you can add heavy cream. You can use milk if you want to use milk. Or you can have just a wine gravy if you desire, however you like to do it. But the flour thickens it, and it's not going to take long at all, 10 minutes, and then you have this delicious gravy. It's wonderful. Just serve your favorite vegetable, and you have a fabulous, fabulous meal. But it's real easy to do, not a whole bunch of work going into it, not a whole bunch of effort, and it's going to be delicious. Well, I have this story about these girls from Charlemagne. Let me get it out here, because I thought it was interesting because they were called Wild Girls. Now, this occurred in the 1700s in Champagne, France. There was a 9-year-old girl who wandered into a small village. Now, her skin was black. She wore rags and animal skins, and she wore a bottle gourd on her head, and she was carrying a club. Now, for a 9-year-old, that is pretty awesome, even in the 1700s. Now, when someone decided they were going to set a dog on her, because you can imagine how strange she looked, she gave it a resounding whack on the head, and she was so strong, it killed the dog. Well, they decided they were going to capture her, and she went up a tree. When they couldn't get her out of the tree, they decided to send some people in the village, a woman and a child, to see if they could get her down. Well, she was hungry. They used food to coax her out, and she was taken into custody and went to a chateau. Now, while she was there, the custom at that time was to hang birds. Yes, that's right. Hang raw birds in the kitchen. You can imagine how fragrant that was. And she just ate one of the birds raw. Didn't bother at all. Now, they ended up having a chance to bathe this little girl. 9 years of age, she wasn't black at all. She was very, very white. And she was apparently, to the best of their knowledge at that time, an Eskimo. And they said that her hands, her thumbs, were extraordinarily large, but she had been apparently living in trees for a long time. Now, they found that this girl had been living with animals for a lot of years. She was totally comfortable with them. Now, in another period, there was a queen of Poland that decided that this girl that was so fascinating to the people around her, that she wanted to educate her. Do you know what? She ended up going to a convent in Paris. There have been stories about children that have lived with animals throughout history. Doesn't happen very often. But this was a girl where her entire experience was documented. And she ended up maturing into an adult that had a very fulfilling life. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about Pope Annalisa, a book that is receiving a record number of book awards. Fascinating topic. You're not going to want to miss it. Talk with you then. We'll be here, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.